Alrighty. Yo, welcome to another episode of Fuck Your Feelings. I'm the host, Brunson. Got the crew on the line. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen?
What's up?
Lady.
Lady.
What up? Yeah, because I was wondering what the other lady was. I started scrolling through my phone.
Phil?
Who's Phil?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Maverick, from the rest of the show, he will now be referred to as the person formerly known as Phil.
I bet you we editing that out.
So, everybody good?
Yeah, we good.
Man, y'all can't start off with the fuckery, all right? Y'all just...
Yo, that's my life every day, dog. You know this.
Nah, but come on, like... Anyway, I'm glad y'all good. I'm glad everything going well. I'm going to go ahead and get into the shit. So, over the last couple of weeks, we have had a multitude of different instances that took place in regards to CPL holders. And if you don't know what CPL, that's concealed pistol license, for those who are legally allowed to carry a firearm. And so, we brought up the question, me and Smitty have been going back and forth and we were talking about it, and they brought up the question, when is it okay to pull your weapon and or use of force? Is it something that you should do when only that you feel is a life and danger kind of situation where you feel like, you know, I have no other option? You know, is it a good thing to pull out your weapon just to be on the ready and try to give somebody a warning? So, let's start off with
before we get started. There's a number of CPL holders on the line, and so we have a pretty good understanding of this topic. So,
is there not a CPL holder on the line right now? Oh, well, one from the east side, one in DC. So y'all pretty much CPL holders. I mean, y'all carry guns. So
Okay,
well, that's good to know. That's good to know that it is some people on here, so we can get a good, robust conversation in regards to this matter. So I'm going to start off with Phil. Sorry, Maverick. Maverick, I'm going to start off with you. What's your thoughts in regards to the use of force and or the use of pulling out your weapon during a altercation?
Come back to me. Can you hear me? Come back to me.
I go.
I wish y'all could see my screen right now. What button I got hovered. It starts with an E-R-E and ends with a move.
Okay, so for me, a good rule of thumb for like what I use is... is my life in imminent danger... Or do I feel a serious threat, right? So I tell a story when I had to almost pull my gun out. So one of the places that I'm most terrified is between my car and the gas pump, because there's not a lot of places you can go. Like, because somebody corners you in a gas in that between that space, they basically can have the upper hand on you. So between those two places, I'm very terrified. And this guy was approaching me, and I told him to step back. I was like, listen, don't come approach me between, like, stay over there. Like, I can hear you just fine. Stay over there. And he kept walking towards me and just kept walking towards me. And I said, stay over there. Like, just stay over there. Like, I don't know. And so I started backing up. And I lifted my shirt to show him, like, hey, like, stay over there. And he kept walking towards me. So I pulled my gun and put it towards my hip, right? Like down towards the ground. And then he stopped, but he didn't realize that he was approaching that, like, that 6 foot space that you, when that 6 foot between, life and death is that 6 foot space. He was trying to solicit me for something, but at the time I didn't know it. He wasn't following command. So I'm not saying, like, I'm a police officer, but he wasn't, like, my safety was at that thing, and that was my fear point, right? Like, you're not about to corner me in between this gas pump and try to rob me, because I am from a city that, you know, that you have heightened sense of people, right? So when people start to approach you at a gas station, they either want something or they're gonna take it, right? And so, but he didn't heed a warning. Like I told him, stay over there. And he just kept walking towards me. And he wasn't like, it wasn't like he was saying, hey, I want to show you, I want to tell you something. He was just like aggressively approaching me. And I just was really, and I was terrified. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And I didn't know if the dude had a knife. I didn't know if he had a gun because he didn't have a gun out. But I would have, I pulled it just to pull it down towards the ground. So he knew that I told him to stay in the fuck back. Nigga, like, you're not about to run up on me and try to gank me like I'm some idiot, right? But at the end of the day, he was trying to sell me some stuff that he was trying to get some money for something. But I was like, you could tell me that from like 10 feet away, nigga. Like you ain't gotta come on me.
Hey.
He was about to shoot a dude that was trying to sell him the blueprint.
This nigga was trying to shoot a dude asked for some peanut butter crackers. He was about to shoot a nigga for one of them cheese crackers in the fucking
listen
and the end cap.
For me, the gas between my car and the gas pump is the most dangerous place for me because you know you can't like if somebody comes in, you can try to run out. Like if they come behind you, you got to jump over the gas pump. To get out. So like I can't be caught in that situation. So that's one of my
fear points. Pull the gas pump out and spray them with the gas.
Why don't you just start paying people to pump your gas?
I just need to move to New Jersey. They pump it for free.
Okay, something. I got bums up the corner that pump it for free. They can get it.
I'm not going to answer that. Okay, so you pulled your weapon in that situation because you had a heightened fear, but it was only when that person approached a danger zone or what you deemed to be a danger zone at that time.
Yeah, anything like 6 foot around me is my danger zone. So like if you come in that space, and I haven't invited you in that space, that's already going to be some like I'm going to have a heightened sense of thing where I'm going to start to like prepare myself for whatever type of conversation is going to happen. But I think for me, I think imminent danger a situation where you are where you feel your life is threatened is probably a good rule. I didn't follow my number one rule. If you're going to pull it, you're going to use it. So I pulled it, but I didn't use it. And I should have never pulled it. It should never be used as a deterrent.
So that's a question, though. Do you, I mean, thankfully you didn't have to, but do you feel like you would have?
Oh yeah, I would have. I would have shot him. Like if he'd have pulled anything, he would have two or three in the chest. Like for sure. Like I don't care. I would have freaked out because he was inside my space. Like it was over at that point. I would have told him. I'm like he was inside my space. Like if I went to jail, I'm like I justified in shooting that person because they were in my space. I don't know what he could did like. 6 feet is short.
And you can close a 6 foot gap quickly. Average person can close that gap quickly. So, okay. So Lake, I'm going to bounce over to you. What's your thoughts?
Okay. I am not a CPL holder, but I want to be. As a woman, most of the times your threat isn't like where you can see it. You know what I mean? So most women are afraid of being grabbed from behind or, while we're walking somewhere, being taken off guard, you know? So my first line of defense was self-defense, you know, training in Taekwondo so I can be prepared to defend myself because a lot of times I'm not worried about getting shot. I'm worried about getting shot unexpectedly, you know what I mean? But I'm not worried about expectedly getting shot. Now, I am going to be a homeowner soon, so I plan to have a gun in a house, which probably will make me... Thank you. Thank you, guys. So I want to have a gun in the house. I want to have protection over my home. I wonder once I get that feel of having that weapon on me, am I going to want to start carrying it? Because that's what I tend to see with a lot of people. You know, they carry their gun because they have it. You know, and then you have situations where people use that gun as some kind of extra force or extra courage. And I'm born and raised in the city of Detroit. I ain't never needed it, that kind of courage. And maybe because I'm a woman opposed to being a man, you know, that story is different. But the more and more I see people carrying their weapon, the more I see them flashing it, and the more and more I see them trying to egg people to use it. So I would do away with the whole shits if it was possible. Now that we can't do away with the whole shits, I'll probably be carrying my own as well, especially with times changing rapidly the way it is. You know, I'm starting to feel like we're in some kind of war zone. Mm-hmm. Where people are just on edge. You know, I seen it at the gas station the other day. This nigga was, he really dropped his card, but he couldn't find his card, you know, and somebody was over there talking to him. So he about to make this man strip right there on the street because he feels like this man took his card, you know, some kind of cash card or some shit. And like, this is a person who had a weapon against somebody who didn't have a weapon. And a man emptied his pockets and stuff. And I'm sitting up there like, let me get out the gas station. But this is some real bullshit. This is some whole ass shit. Niggas walking around carrying guns and can't control their surroundings without that false. I mean, it's not false protection because it definitely is what it is. But I think it causes more problems than it's worth sometimes. And yeah, we just seen that on that tape, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. When you do, when you do get a firearm, is it just going to be for the house, or is it something that you want to start carrying?
It's something I want to start carrying only because you know, it's like a monkey see monkey do type of thing. You know what I mean? People around me are carrying.
Right.
And like I said, people are on edge about dumb shit, you know? So I feel like if I got to keep my cool or keep my sanity, I got to be a part of like what the masses is doing out here. So they won't catch me up in they bullshit. You know what I mean? Hopefully it'll be my sense of protection. I'll let her go ahead and go by. She ain't got shit to do with anything instead of involving me in their, you know, and they dumb shit.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I think I've been carrying probably the least out of everybody about 10 years now. And obviously it's for protection. I mean, usually I mean, knock on wood, I haven't had an altercation or had to have a need to, you know, unholster my firearm or point it at anybody. Yes, there's been times that I moved it from my holster on my hip to like my jacket pocket in certain situations. But, you know, I've been lucky enough, you know, obviously, you know, you all met me, and for the listeners that haven't, you know, seen me on social media or anything, I'm a big dude, so most people don't want to fight or fuck with me anyway, just off rip. But, you know, I still carry my weapon just in case. You never know what another person have and or their ability. And, you know, like Smitty said, in that 6 feet round, when you know, you touch that space and I now view you as a threat, I want to make sure that, especially when I got two little ones with me most of the time, I'm not in a position to be fighting. So obviously I'm going home to them, and you know, you work it out between you and your maker as to whether or not you do. So, I mean, that's why I carry, not for an extra sense of bravado or anything like that. But I do, you know, in different times, I mean, in Chicago here, because I haven't had my license switched over, I don't carry here, but definitely been instances when I walked in certain parts and it was like, ooh, let's hurry up and get the fuck up out of here. But, you know, hood rules or rules in your environment apply wherever you go. You know, if you follow those rules, usually you make it out of certain situations safely. So, Kenan, I'm going to bounce over to you. What are your thoughts in regards to carrying a firearm, use of force? Do you even ride around with your weapon holster, or do you have it on holster? You know, let's start there. Do you ride around with it, you know, in like a holster or the glove compartment, or is it on your lap or under your car seat?
It's on my lap, you know, just because you never know if you have to use it. I don't ever want to have to use it. I haven't had to, you know, put out on anybody. And that's good. You know, I think you should only have to use your weapon when you feel like, you know, your life is in danger, because guns kill people, you know. Well, a human behind a gun kills a person, but you know, you have to be responsible. So, you know, you can't just pull out a gun because, you know, you get into a fist fight or a verbal altercation, you know, because, you know, if you beat my ass, okay, cool, I could walk away. Or if I beat your ass, you could walk away, but this shit's going to kill you. So this is only if you are trying to kill me or mine, you know, period. But other than that, I mean, I want to get on to what Lake was saying. You know, a lot of guys, they wear these guns like it's an accessory now, you know, like just to show it off. You know, they on Facebook, whatever, showing it off. And it's just like, it's not a toy. You know, it's just a sign of immaturity, you know, to have these guns, you have to be responsible. Showing it off, what for? You know, if you have a gun, why do you want to let anyone know that you have one? You know, you want to broadcast. It's just stupid shit. So I think those individuals, they don't need a gun. You know what I'm saying? They on some other shit, you know, but that's my thought on it.
No, I agree with that. And I, you know, I would be remiss to say I wasn't on some dumb shit in the younger days and may have taken a picture or two, a pose with a, you know, obviously growing older, you look back and it's like, man, that's got to be some of the dumbest shit you could ever do in your life. And, you know, it's nothing I'm proud of, but definitely let people know, like, they ain't the way to go. I mean, I'm not really sure why you would want the DEA or any of these drug officials or FBI, you know, I don't know why you want 12 to know that you got a firearm, or anybody for that matter, because now you use the element of surprise. But definitely it is a lot of people out here to have that extra bravado. It seems like they give them, you know, a boost of confidence, like they cracked open
that metal courage.
That's what it is. And it's a sad thing to see, because it just shouldn't be happening like that. So Phil and then Kieran.
I carry pretty much wherever I go. When do I think that it's okay to use it? I don't think you should use it unless you feel like your life is being threatened or you're gonna suffer, you know what I'm saying, some type of extreme harm to self. There was a situation I was in, we were talking about it pre-show, mm-hmm. a few years back, and I dropped a friend off, helping her get a car or whatever, and her dude was like waiting in the driveway. So I'm helping her get her things and her son's things out of the car, and you know, he get all up in her face, and didn't y'all tell you not to have my son around all these people, and yada, 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 yada. So me being the type of person that I am, like, well, I can't let you, you know, grab old girl up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know what y'all got going on behind closed doors, but in front of me, like, I can't just watch you, you know, disrespect old girl and try to choke her up.
Especially in
front of me. So I'm trying to get him to calm down. And, you know, he like, you can get it too, homeboy, and yada, yada, yada. And I guess he doesn't realize that, like, I'm very, very observant. So as we're pulling up, he gets out of the car and he goes in the trunk. And he pulls something out of the back of the trunk and he sticks it in his left pocket. And that's how detail-oriented I am. Even though it was 4 years ago, I still remember, like it was yesterday, I remember what pocket he put it in, everything. Mm-hmm. And dude was a felon. He had just got out of jail like a few months earlier. So I'm like, I know dude, you know, put a gun in his pocket. He just don't ride around with it on him in case he gets pulled over. Mm-hmm. So he had a gun on him. So in that situation where he's like, you know, you can get it too, homeboy. I was like, you got to back up. So I had to pull my gun and I'm like, yo, this can go like one of like multiple ways. And I gave him his options and he ended up backing down and went back off in the backyard or something. And I guess he went to stash the gun and then he went in the house. And my friend came out and she's like, I'm sorry, he was tripping on you and this, this and that. And dude came back outside and like tried to give me dap, like, my bad, man, I'm just a little drunk. I just be a little overprotective about who be around my son, but it's all good. And I'm like,
you mean crazy?
You want to give me dap now? Like, I'm not smashing this. I don't
trust you, nigga.
Like, yeah, like, dude, we all went to middle school together. He don't remember me, but I remember him. I'm like, I'm trying to get her a car because you ain't trying to get her a car. And I took her to a family member house to try to get her a car, dude, so she could get her.
You just trying to help, nigga.
Yeah. I'm like, you almost died over the fact that you jealous over somebody that's not even smashing your chick, yo.
How Fab said you're going to wake up in hell with a hangover? Better quit playing. Better quit playing.
So, but yeah, that's my thoughts on it. I don't know how far into the questions we got on the gun thing. Did you want me to answer them all, or you
gonna leave? I was just getting your opinion. You pretty much answered everything that I had in my head. But I do have one. And so in those instances where you're pulling your weapon, you know, whatever that is, in this case it's a firearm, when you're pulling that weapon out, do you feel like it is or should be considered brandishing when I'm at the point where I do feel like imminent threat is upon me. Not necessarily saying
that. I can answer that briefly. So brandishing is just when you're showing it off. But if you pull it, you're not brandishing. Now you kind of like that situation we had in Lake Orion where they're like, we're going to hit her with felonious assault or whatever.
Right.
Personally, I don't think that you should brandish. I agree with King Keys where he was like, you lose the element of surprise when you show somebody you got it. Nobody should know you have it until you pull it. Excuse me. But if you pull it, I don't think that you necessarily have to use it because you pulled it. It can be used as a deterrent. I know a lot of people use the term de-escalation. Like that can be a de-escalated, you know, de-escalation situation where it's like, this could happen to you unless you back down.
So
like when, my bad. Go ahead.
I actually have a story about that, but I'll say it after, you complete your thought, bro.
Yeah. And then even with Smitty, his was a de-escalation thing. I'm telling you to back up. I'm telling you to back up. I'm telling you to back up. Now I got it out. Like you in my space, like you got to chill now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think that you always have to use it just cause you pulled it, but I also don't think that you should show it off like on your hip or whatever, unless you really feel like I might have to use it. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thought.
Okay. Keenan, what's your story, sir?
So man, I was about maybe 26, 27. And I got
you can't tell a violent story sexy, bro. You know,
put so 26, 27. Say like DMX. Short voice.
Yeah, I thought he said it was June 26th or 27th.
It was a day I always remember.
But no, so I was about 26, 27. It was a guy that I knew, you know, my fam knew, my wife knew. So he ended up sucker punching me, right? My glasses flew. And like he got me in a headlock. So I ended up pulling out the headlock and I picked him up. And you know how, in, you know, the old school cribs in Detroit, you know, that big picture window in the front of the house, they got a cement slab, like a ledge. Picked that nigga up, dropped him on that, and then knocked some teeth out, right? So, you know, he get up.
Allegedly.
I mean, it is
allegedly.
But anyway, so. He ended up getting up and like pulling a gun out. And I'm like, I know the nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have my gun on me. Like, this is outside my house. And I'm like, fuck. So he didn't have his magazine in it. All right. So I'm like, all right. So
first I got mistake, on, people.
Right.
Don't pull a gun, so, unloaded weapon.
So I got on top of him and put my pinky up the gun, you know what I'm saying? So he trying to put the magazine in, like I still got a mark, like my shit was just pouring. So I called my wife, like, you know, Tay, grab my gun. I had it in the room, so she got it. And then when she came out the door, you know, she aimed it at him, and you know, I just kind of linked back, you know what I'm saying, while my finger was still in the gun. And then when he seen that, he backed off, and then you know, I went up to the steps. Got my shit, and she was like, don't kill him. Just go to the police. Don't kill him. Like, she was begging me. And then he just got in the car. You know. I kind of regretted that a little bit, but I don't want nobody on me, so it was cool.
I'm glad that you made it out of that situation. And you gave people a safety tip. If for some reason there isn't a magazine in the gun, I'm not even sure why you even have a gun.
You didn't come to use it.
In it.
You didn't come to you yet.
This nigga Looney Tunes the gun. This nigga
like Bugs dog. Bunny. If I could show y'all
and
like dude,
and
your I don't know if y'all can see it. You see that line?
Nah, I see extra light skin. I don't.
You don't see a line in the middle of my finger?
No, nigga.
It's a little light, like right here.
Nigga, you trying to say you got unicorn rainbows shooting out your skin? Cause you like no, not.
We see lines all through your fingers, but they just a regular creases, man.
Yeah, man. Nah, oh, motherfucker.
Well, no, it's one there.
We got lines on our fingers.
It was in my finger. Nah, it was. But yeah. So I guess that was a deterrent at that point.
Okay.
You know.
I do. I'm about to jump to Kieran, and then after that, I'm gonna got one more question, and then we're gonna wrap this up. Kieran, what's your thoughts?
I'm the type of person that I don't carry, and that's mostly because of my kids. I just don't want anything to happen to them, and I don't want to have any reason of them carrying or seeing anything of a weapon of sort. I don't want to have to pull it in front of them, and then they see it, and then they're looking for it throughout the house. So I'm just the type of person that I don't carry. I've been that way for a long time. So a lot of what I do is like when I enter into a building or something like that, I always kind of have that instinct of just looking for exits or anything that I need to do to just kind of run away from the situation, because I just don't want to be involved or try to even pull a weapon or even have a reason to have a weapon. It's just the way I was raised. My dad had a weapon, but he made sure that it was out of sight. And it was something I didn't know until I was much older that he had it. And I just don't want to have to hide it. So I just used Taekwondo. I mean, I took it when I was younger and continued with it. And so I just used my hands. That's my deadly force, but I try not to use it. I try to keep myself in situations that
his hands registered as a lethal weapon.
Exactly.
Hey, so am I the Danny only Glover. One? Hey, listen, am I the only one that thought of a blaxploitation film with Blake with a big ass afro and Kieran with some bell bottoms on karate chopping niggas?
I think that'll be a good ass movie. I look good in afro.
What you doing, sucker?
Just out here karate chopping, nigga. You come straight out of comic book.
You get your ass whooped.
Black Dynamite.
This is gonna be for another. This is gonna be another show. But I think that we miss a step by not teaching our kids about weapons.
Well, so
I actually did though.
So I was gonna ask y'all that question because everybody on here either got kids or, young people that be around them in their household. Would you teach? Or have you taught your children about gun safety, and would you take them to the gun range?
So I got my gun, and Coran was about 11, and CJ was maybe about 8. And, you know, I just set him down and spoke to him about it, you know, what it's used for. Some of the same things I said today, like, you know, these are not just a show off. It's not a cool thing to do. This is a tool, you know, for protection. It should only be used and at this point and that point. And, you know, I know some of that may have went over their head, but I showed them some videos. Like, this is what guns do. Like, I did some scared straight shit on their ass. And I put up all types of articles online about kids, you know, getting a hold of guns and what happened. And, you know, I think you have to know your kid as well. You know, those two are easy to scare with some real shit. So, you know, if I just pull up, you know, a case or, you know, a news article, they went with it. Madison and Keenan, same thing, you know. But you still keep them away from the kids because, you know, they're not fully mature yet, you know. And then you never really truly know your kid. You know, they're different in front of you than when they're on the phone with their friends and at school. You know, I learned that with Keenan, you know. Yeah. So, you know, but you just talk to them about it. Would I take them to the range? I would. But like for Keenan, I would just have to watch and see how he is and his maturity as he gets a little older. Because if you have to know your kid, you know.
Okay.
Madison is clumsy as shit. So would I put a gun in her hands? No. No. You know, but yeah.
That's what's up. Okay. Lake, Phil, Kieran, and Smitty.
Well, I do think that parents should teach their children gun safety. I'm actually a little upset with my son's father because he has property in Baldwin and he hunted before he went up north. And I was really banking on him spending time with his son hunting and practicing gun safety and usage, you know. Because in other cultures, you know, kids are young. They start off 5 years old, you know, learning gun safety and how to load it and how to clean them, you know, the chores of having a gun. And I don't really think there's anything wrong with it if it's monitored and it's a way of life. I think kids get curious when it's not a way of life. and they find out that it's a gun in the house and they was unaware. I did it. You know what I mean? I knew that there was a gun in the house. So when I had a chance, I had to peek in the drawer, you know, just to see if I could see it. And I was too afraid to touch it. But that curiosity killed me for weeks. You know, I just wanted to get to the room so I could see it, you know, because it was unbelievable. And I believe that if we give our children those tools, it's not that exciting for them if they're already familiar. Now, I get being clumsy. You know, what King was saying, my son is clumsy. So it would take a whole bunch of other chores for him to have before I will put a gun in his hand. You know, but in all reality, we're letting them be on these electronic devices and we're putting guns in their hands every day. So I would prefer to be the one that teach him. You know, we had started before COVID started, we had started with archery because I wanted him to get familiar with having a weapon. You know, I know it's not a gun, you know, but I needed him to be familiar with starting to have his own weapon. So that's what I say. Did I lose you?
Should I continue? No, I got you. No, that's totally understandable.
Do I sound the sexiest king?
And trying to learn and making sure you educate your children, because I think that's the way to go, is to educate them, you know, kind of what Keen is saying and what you're saying is just proper education, letting them know that's not a toy. I mean, I've worked plenty of cases where you've had it. I've seen people, you know, get in trouble, where their parents get in trouble because the kid happened to find a gun and they shoot themselves.
Here in Detroit, we had that happen. A normal day at the house, parents watching a movie, you know, kids upstairs and boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 3-year-old gone.
Yeah.
And what I told my kids, I said, if you play with this, I am going to go away to jail for life.
For life.
For life. That's what I said. I said, I'm going to go to jail for life. And then what's going to happen to you? I said, this is serious. This is not a toy. Like, you know.
And this generation of kids are scared as hell. I get that. Like scaring them straight. It don't take much, because I tell mine in a minute. You know what I mean? There's a lot of parents looking for 8-year-olds. We can go on and trade you in. And he be like, they trading kids. No.
My mama used to be like, I'm going to send you to that boy's home. It was like Linwood or something. She would drive past that.
Yeah.
She'd be like, I'm going to send you there. I don't know if that shit was open, but I used to be like.
It was open.
It okay, was.
I was like, yeah, my mama just do. I'm going to get it together, mom. Whatever you want.
And that place was real. You know what I mean? Those boys used to break out. I actually live in the street over behind the boy's home.
What was it? You know what I mean? What was the name of that?
Boys' home in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I ain't rode past that in years, like decades, though. I might.
It's not there anymore.
Damn,
Phil, what's your thoughts?
I agree with Lake and King Keys. It's just about educating them. My kids have known that I've had a gun for a little over a decade. So, my daughter was 2, my son was 4, and from that age. I would get into disagreements with family members, like, you shouldn't even let them know you have it. And I'm like, no, they need to know that dad has this. So when they were that age, I would point to it and I say, no, you know what I'm saying? And then as they would get older, I would explain to them, why I have it, you know, why I need to have it and why they shouldn't touch it. I haven't taken them to the range yet. I'm probably going to wait until they're 16. So I got another 2 years with Jay, just so they know how to use it. If I were a hunter or I owned, you know, like a hunting rifle or whatever, then I probably would have done it sooner, but I'm not a hunter. So I'm like, well, I got time to teach them how to use a handgun, because they can't own one for years anyway. But I agree. Just educate them. Cause when kids are told no, they want to do the exact opposite. It's like that big red button that you're like, don't touch this big red button. And they're like, I want to touch it. I want to see what it does. And I just take the Boondocks approach. I'm like, if you don't want to go away and get anally raped, and you don't want daddy to go away and get anally raped, then you probably don't want to touch this gun.
Exactly.
I love that.
Be real with them. Like, come on.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. Shit. I don't want to be anally raped.
Yeah. So you don't want to get put away and be anally raped. Right. I was like, it ain't the confinement that's
not rape.
That ain't a rapist. I can. Yeah, you can put me in solitary confinement. Just don't rape me.
Right.
No, I'm good. I had a horrible, scared straight experience from seeing somebody get, you know, raped, and I don't. Yeah. And okay, so Kieran, then Smitty, real quick.
I agree with everyone. If I were to have a weapon, I would want to make sure that they're educated on it, because it's so true that when you try to hide something, that's when they're going to try to find out the answers. And you always think about it, like, if you don't give them answers to the questions that they have, then who's going to give them answers? And then you're going to wind up having somebody who shouldn't be giving them answers saying, oh yeah, guns is fun. Guns is, oh,
like their dumbass friends.
Right. Exactly. So then once you get educated from somebody who's not educated and can't teach them right, then that's when all the problems happen. That's when the curiosity begins and they start saying, oh, well, let me look around the house, see if daddy has a gun, because homeboy told me yesterday he found his daddy's gun and things like that. And it's important to have that education and let them know, so that they carry it, ends that curiosity.
Cool. And Smitty?
Ditto.
All right, that's enough for Smitty.
Very detailed response.
Let me add to what Kay said, though.
Can you remove him?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just hovering over it right now. I mean,
Kay has said about, you know, your kids' friends telling them the wrong information. So remember back in the day, your friends would tell you, oh, you know, if a girl rides you, she won't get pregnant. It's a damn lie.
I've never had my friends tell me that.
That's a good segue into the next topic.
Really, really it is. So hold that thought, Keenan, because thank you guys all. And for everybody that got a firearm, make sure you have a safety, have it put up, have it locked, and know the safety protocols for you and your family with your firearm. Okay. With that said, moving to the next topic. And so came across this topic because I was just thinking, you know, just back in the past, long, 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 long time ago, the situations arise. And I just wanted to get your thoughts. Fellas, what was your thoughts the first time a girl told you she might be pregnant? And or for the ladies or lady, Lake, what was your thoughts the first time you had to tell somebody you might be pregnant? So I'm going to start off with Lake. Lake.
You're going to start off with me again?
I'm going to tell you. Okay. Yes, just start off with you again.
Oh, right. Why not? Because women are the ones that got to take the blunt of the situation. So my first pregnancy was at 19. I actually didn't tell the guy that I was pregnant by. I told the guy that I was dating. But I didn't tell him it was his. He was
shady.
Just a closer,
shady.
It was a closer friend. He was a closer friend. And I had got caught up in a situation because I actually was pregnant before me and him started dating. You know what I mean? We was going through the liking phase when I guess I was getting impregnated or whatnot. I didn't decide to keep that child because 19 years old with a baby just wasn't what I thought a good life would be for me. Being in college, I was going into my I would have been going into my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And every female I seen at school that got pregnant was gone, and every nigga who got her pregnant was still going to school. And I just didn't feel like that could be me from how I grew up. You know what I mean? It just didn't seem like I could pull that off and be 41 now with a fucking 22-year-old, like, I didn't see my life going that way. No. So I was pretty cool with the decision to go ahead and abort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was the best decision for me. Now, I didn't tell anybody. I told two friends because I needed a driver. Right. So pretty much until I got older in life, it wasn't something that people really knew. It happened over the summer. I was able to come home from summer. You know, they send you home for a day. You heal up and then you pretend like ain't nothing happened, especially when you're 19. You know, I eventually told him. He had four other kids. You know what I mean? This is another college student. So it's like, you know, somebody 20 and you got four other kids. You know what I mean? That just didn't seem like my life now. needless to say, I got pregnant by a guy with four other kids.
So I four was your lucky number.
Fuck that. Shit. But I'm still good with my decision. It's so funny because yesterday was like the anniversary. It was July 11th.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So I never forget that child. I never forget how easy life would be now having a grown-ass kid opposed to an eight-year-old. But then I think about how hard life would have been trying to raise that child from 19 to 41, you know? So it's definitely a catch-22.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Did you ever tell your parents or, you know, I mean, maybe afterwards, but like during the moment, did you ever tell any?
Well, when I was going through my pregnancy, I needed my mom with me, okay. You know, this, my live birth. So they'll always ask you,
yeah,
how many pregnancies and then how many children.
Yeah.
You know, so my mom was sitting there and I'm like, shit, my life is on the line. You know, I don't believe in lying to the doctor. Fuck that. I don't give a damn who's in the room. If you want to know the truth about me, get a doctor in the room, you know. But by that time, I had realized as a woman at 32, women go through so many of their own stories that she didn't look at me as if I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think she would have thought that I would have made a mistake keeping the child with everything I had going for me.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It would have just ended up being her kid anyway. You know what I mean?
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely understand that. Well, thank you for sharing, Lake. Phil, what about you?
Oh, how I wish the rumor that King Keys was told was true. First time I was told that I got a girl pregnant, and I didn't even hear this rumor. She was riding, and I said, yo, get up. And she kept going. I was like, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. And she got up too late. My stomach started hurting at that moment. So, but I didn't find out until a couple months later. My mom gets a phone call, and it's one of the ladies from the church, the girl's mom. And she's like, I'm here in the emergency room with my daughter. Your son got her pregnant, and she's about to lose the baby. My mom put the phone on mute, calls me downstairs, and I'm denying it. And mom's is like, real. She's like, listen, I don't know if I necessarily believe that you got her pregnant, but if you did, I'll turn your ass in myself. You're going to pay the child support. You're going to step up. You're going to take care of this kid, period. No questions asked, right? Mm-hmm. So long story short, she ended up losing the baby. So we heard, like, that, like later that night, you know, she called back and was like, she lost the baby. And we were both kind of like, oh, that was convenient that you called and said, you know what I'm saying, that she was pregnant and you lost the kid or whatever. The second time that this happened, because this only had like two scares. The second time this happened, oh. I was going to school with this chick. And we did our little thing or whatever. And my dumb ass didn't pull out. And she was like, yo, I'm pregnant. So I got the yellow pages and I started looking, you know, for abortion clinics or whatever. And for the younger audience, y'all probably don't know what the Yellow Pages is, but that was before Google. And she ended up coming to school the next day and she's like, yo, my cousin gonna shoot you if, you know what I'm saying, you don't take care of this kid. So I was terrified.
What
so
is this, Men's to Society?
That's what right, I was like, Men's Society out of the Men's Society handbook?
She's like, my cousin gonna come up here and kill you. She's like, my cousin's in the gang, he's gonna kill you if you don't step up and take care of this baby. So I went to the office and, you know, called my grandmother and was like, you got to start picking me up from school early so her cousin don't meet me up here to shoot me because he don't want to scrap, he want to shoot. And my mom was cool with the principal. So the principal calls me and she's like, yo, I know you're not this type of dude. Like, what's going on? Why is such and such saying that you pregnant? Yada, yada, yada. I was like, yo, she said her cousin going to shoot me. And I don't know why she says she's pregnant. She might be, but she don't have the evidence. And I really think she mad because I dumped her. But I really don't know. All I know is I can't be here at 3:00. So they call old girl down there, and long story short, old girl was like, oh, I was just lying. I just didn't want him to break up with me. And my cousin is in the gang, but he's not coming to shoot him and yada, yada, yada. And at that point, I realized that you either need to wrap it up with something a little bit better than lifestyles.
Or what I always say, you can't have a baby out of your mouth. Okay, I'm just being real.
So
that got me from 19 to 32. That's great advice.
Oh my God.
Fuck that.
Oh, this show has went way inappropriate.
We're going back.
We just learned so much about Link today.
That was like the Jesus years.
What?
So, Keenan, tell us a story about the first time a girl told you that she might be pregnant. And what did you do? Like, was you sick to your stomach? Like, were you sad? Were you happy? Were you like, damn, my life was over? Like, should I find the nearest, closest stairway? Like, what was your thoughts? I think you're still there. Keenan, you still there? You froze?
Yo, mute.
I think
you know he probably got his microphone away from his mouth.
Yeah. Can you hear us? Nope. I'm talking to you.
I'll be sure. Get in the car.
I think he just got in.
We got two of them now. Hey, twin.
Man, I don't know what's going on my internet.
So, so give me... Hey, IT, you cut that shit off and turn it back on.
Hey, I couldn't do it. I went there from the phone. So
okay, so what I was saying is, give us the time when the first time a girl told you she might be pregnant. Like, was you sick to your stomach? Was you happy? Was you like, damn, this is fucked up? Like, you know, what were some of your thoughts?
Man, so. I had a few pregnancy scares.
Hey,
you know what?
Computer off.
Feedback.
Turn your computer off.
There we go. Y'all all right.
Make me edit, huh?
There we go. Yes. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Do your job, man. But nah, I had a few pregnancy scares 12th grade, man. You already
a
know.
A few in 12th grade? A few?
Yeah, he did.
In 1 year?
Yeah, he did.
Man,
yeah.
Look.
Yeah, I was there for him.
So... like so and so, you know, OP, she was like, she wanted to be pregnant. I had so many females, I was like, they wanted to be pregnant. Like when they like, oh, I missed my period. I'm a few days late. I'm supposed to come on. I'm sitting there, big 12th grade ass nigga, like, oh shit, damn, what the fuck? I'm stressed out, dog, in 12th grade. So, you know, I'll get home, they'll call me like, mad as hell though. I came on my period. Woo! Wipes brow. You feel me? So yeah, I had that type of shit, you know. It was with two females. Probably at the same time. That was horrible. But yeah, hey,
was the other one right.
I figured. Condom
and initials.
I mean, we could say the name, but like you ain't know it.
No,
I'm not gonna do it, man. Because they're gonna know exactly. Like if it get out to whoever, man, it's gone. I don't want.
No, we growing. Don't do that. Yeah, they're gonna look back. They're gonna dig back in our past, and we're gonna be screwed.
It's already out, though. I mean, all you have to do is do the math.
But you know, right now, they'll know if they hear it. They'll be like, oh yeah. Because, yeah, he stuffed Plan B's, like, through me, like, her 11th grade year, 12th grade year. Like, I got a lot of Plan B's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, shout out to you, homegirl, if you listening. And I hope you were able to reproduce.
She had one.
What?
Both of them.
Keenan.
Both of them.
Well, I know the other one had one. I know OP had one. Yeah. OP was nuts.
Dispenser.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. This nigga.
I would be so disappointed.
Stay with the 50.
End up being like me in high school. I'd be on them so hard. I'd be like, it shouldn't have been like that, nigga.
Listen, drop and give them 50 was a whole nother meaning for Keenan.
Actually, 50. At the time, brother, it was 35. 100, and 100. I was paying 110. Then I found a place at 100. And then I found them for 75. I was like, oh
see.
I was buying them bitches. Like,
how much were they? How much were they at Michigan State?
$35 if you went to Planned Parenthood. I mean, I just happened to hear. I don't know.
I would have came up there and just got a few for myself just to have on reserve.
You know, the one right on Grand River, right over SBS, you know, right across from the Union.
Y'all a mess. Y'all are mess.
I'm familiar with it.
That one.
I never knew that place.
The crazy part, Plan B wasn't even available when I was in college.
Yeah, I mean, Plan B.
Well, that would have made a difference.
Listen, it wasn't Plan B. It was like Staircase One, you know.
But it had the same purpose, right?
Yeah. No, Plan B stops the sperm from meeting the egg. Yeah. So you take
within
that,
3 days,
like right out here.
Right. So
that, like,
what did
right
y'all
after
get in college? What was they giving you in college?
We had Plan B. We had the morning after pill.
So I'm gonna
tell you
this.
That's what I'm saying. It would have made a difference if we had it.
Right.
When I was in school.
I'm gonna tell you this. Whenever I went and got a Plan B for a female, she knew. For them 3 days straight, we was skipping school. We was fucking.
You was gonna take advantage of the pill.
No, we was gonna take
that shit was $35.
Are y'all serious right now?
Fist bump.
That was it. Was like,
and blow it up
raw. Like, come on, like, hey,
because you knew that pill was blocking everything.
That shit was free.
Like my main girlfriends. It was like my main, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, with this nigga said my main
girlfriend. My main girlfriends.
Friends. Well, it was S on that shit.
Those two.
Nah, nigga. It was another one.
I mean, I had some other ones, but those two were my mains. You can't deny that.
Keys, how many entanglements did you have?
He said,
"What
now?"
He about to lie now. He said, "How many tickets you have? What you say? What was that?"
I did not entangle with that woman. I did not entangle with her.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but I do have a story about an abortion. If you guys want to hear, I don't know what time.
I mean,
that you have it?
No, I mean, I was there in support.
Then it's not your story to tell.
I was there in support.
This is weird. Okay, so round robin, everybody. We just going to the next person. So we're going to go real quick. Smitty, Karen, I'm going to start off with y'all. Give me a quick story, real quick. Nobody. Y'all ain't got no pregnancy scares?
Y'all ain't got no stories?
We do, but...
Smitty, I helped you bury yours. What are you talking about?
Oh,
wait, the look on his face when he said we do, but...
Oh, is it current? I'm sorry.
No, there's no current story. Like, I think as I tell you this, I would handle it differently than I handled it in the past, where I had my next Friday moment a little bit. I'm gonna go where a girl I was messing with wound up started showing, you know, and this is like, she wasn't sure when we met and then started showing, and then she tried to say it was my baby. And I'm a man, so I'm like, okay, it's my kid. I'm going to do it. My sister was the one like, no, we're going to do paternity. We're going to have all this stuff done because, you know, you're not about to ruin my brother's life. My sister was the one that was on that. And I wasn't like, I was like, with her. I'm guilty as charged, you know, like, but she had already been pregnant for a few months before we even got together. So it wasn't my kid, but I wasn't scared or nervous. It was just that I had to change my plans and make it work. So.
Such a stand up guy. Round of applause for that, Smitty, there, you know. Round of applause.
Really? I'm going to say this, that initial thought was like, damn, my life over.
Thank God he had a sister, because that's right? Exactly how sisters be. Like, that ain't my brother's baby.
Because that kid would be like
numerous of times.
That kid would be the seventh member on this episode right now.
Right,
and they're like, he'd be too strange too. So, all right, Karen, what about you?
No, I don't have any pregnancy scares. The only person I've been with is my wife. I married my wife and didn't have any scares. We planned it. So when I got the news, I was extra happy.
That's how it should be.
Such a wholesome. Thank you for having one wholesome cast member, because Jesus.
I just waited to marriage just because I had certain reasons that I didn't want to stay back at home. So I just didn't bother with doing anything because I was just more scared to the fact my grandma and my mama basically was just like, you know, don't get nobody pregnant because I ain't taking care of them. So I was just scared of my mind that I didn't want to be have any kind of situation where I would have to wind up having to stay home and then listen to my mama and grandma telling me every day, like, I told you. So I just waited to marriage. And so when I got the news, I was happy just because it was planned. And
that's what's up. That's a good story. And the next time we're going to have a topic about how our mamas and grandmamas always say they weren't going to do shit. We're going to be the first ones buying all kind of shit and helping, supporting. They might have cut you out while doing it. Like, I can't tell you how many times my mama told me she wasn't taking me to the hospital if I got hurt. But the first one, like, let me take you to the hospital.
You get sick, she running. You got a cut finger. She can. You need stitches, baby. Running you right down there.
Right down there. But I mean, I might be all kind of MFers while I'm in that motherfucker waiting 6 hours. But I definitely was going. So, all right. Any last thoughts in regards to, you know, stories in regards to the first time that you may or may not have had pregnancy?
Well, I do have. I'm gonna make an assumption before we present. Like, Keenan, this didn't change your life at all, did it? One of the questions we have listed is how did this change your life after the scare? And I'm gonna go with Keenan's that was just one of the consequences of having sex. Like,
it was like, dog, you need to, like, cover up, like, wear rubber. And the crazy part is, like, I would have some right there sometime, but you know how, like, you'll start fucking around, you know, you in high school, and, you know, one thing lead to another, and then it slide in, and you like, fuck it, no, I'm
going to get three more strokes. Too many times.
I'm going to get five more strokes, and then you like, fuck it, I'm going to just pull out, and...
Fuck that, too, huh?
A leg get wrapped around you, with two, and then there you go.
Fuck
and
that.
Then you are spending money on plan B.
Yeah, see, I mean, I feel y'all. I've been there. I spent money on plan B. When I first had my scare, I was like, oh, shit, my life is over. I think I even threw up. Now I was like, God damn. Shit, I'm going to end up on ID channel. I'm going to have it in the back of my trunk. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me.
But you had like one, you know, maybe two incidents. Keys had a damn plan B punch out card. Like, you get your 11-1.
I should have. Like, dude, he had
a rewards membership.
So much to get money for these fucking pills. I'd be like,
do you have stock in the shit?
This nigga was getting cash back. He was getting cash back from his.
Hey, I tell you, they told one girl, like, they pulled her in the back and was like, are you okay? You know, you can't keep taking these. You know, like, that's how much. And I was like, fuck that. We're going to another spot. And I think
oh my God, what?
I don't even think that's legal.
The views and opinions expressed by King Keys, not that of the Fuck Your Feelings podcast.
But he was 17 then, so we don't have to worry about it. He's grown up now.
When you young.
He was like, these Tic Tacs, take one, bitch.
I thought that having a lot of sex was like, you know, like.
Like a birthright?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it was like immature thinking. Like, now, that shit don't mean nothing. Like, it really don't. You know, I mean, experience, you know, but I could have put that time into something more productive and made some motherfucking bread.
You could have put that money on Plan B's into Under Armour and been rich.
There you go.
Or into Plan B.
Apple.
Into Plan B.
The product was right there.
Hey, I'm surprised you didn't have a home lab at that point.
I'm not
make your own.
I'm also the president.
I make a Plan B edible.
That nigga pick up the Plan B. God damn, a Plan B edible sounds ingenious.
Watch your womb don't start bleeding, baby. Push that baby out.
That's a horrible ass statement.
Wow. And moving on to the next topic. Okay, so.
I thank God I don't have daughters. I mean, you know, I don't know what side I should be on, but right now I feel very grateful to have a son.
Because deal with this shit, though, that we fear.
Right.
I got two of them.
Yeah, I got two.
I'm scared because they're going to get hurt, and it's just all you can do is I tell my daughter my stories within age reason, just so she can see how niggas are, and I tell her like, hey, this is how I was, and this is not who you want to be with. You know, how I am now is the type of man you want to get, but you know, she's going to encounter niggas like me, how I was back in the day.
Yeah, and this
you just got to peek that bullshit and be like, nah, my daddy told me about niggas like you. Get the fuck out of here. Do that shit on a dumb one.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Definitely educate them. So, all right. Thank y'all for y'all opinions and stories. I appreciate it. So moving into our final topic, I wanted to discuss, get it back a little serious. And that is, we have been seeing, especially here in Chicago, and I know Detroit, it's almost seen, you know, that the killings of, especially just over the weekend, the holiday weekend, it just was a ton of killings in the neighborhoods, in the hoods, and a lot of children. I think over the past 3 weekends, at least 9 or 10 children have died under the age of 10, have been killed in Chicago alone. And so I wanted to bring up the question is, do you think, or why aren't Black people so outraged by the killings that happen within the communities versus them being as outraged as they are when those killings are by police? And so I am going to start off with you, Smitty. Smitty, just tell me what your thoughts like. How do we stay angry on both sides? Do you believe this is happening? Do you believe people are not angry as they are with the killing the unarmed Black man by police? What are some of your thoughts?
I think it's twofold. One is that I think people are desensitized to the killings of during neighborhood killings, right? Like you hear that on the news, like it's like how people change shirts. They're like, oh, 18 people were killed today. Like, okay, well, the 18 people get killed. You know, we were like that when there was police shootings, right? We got kind of desensitized to that, where it was like, oh, they just killed another Black guy, like, you know, another Black guy killed. It was just a regular occurrence, like on a regular basis. And I think that there's an awakening period right now, and I think that black people don't want to see the authorities killing us, right? Where we have this preconceived notion about if people are getting killed in neighborhoods, it's because they're in a gang. We have these stereotypes about people in these neighborhoods. Some of them are like 3-year-old kids that are being killed, and they're clearly not in a gang. They just happen to live in a neighborhood that has these type of shootings, right? Or that this is the lifestyle that they've chosen, and this is why they get killed, right? So people make these kind of thoughts around these neighborhood killings, where the police is, you know, we are like, you should have training, you should have these things, and you shouldn't be killing, you just only killing Black people. Well, that's not true, because that's not what's happening. Is we're not seeing the other side of it, right? Like, we don't report on Hispanic killings. We don't report on the white killings. We report on the Black killings, because that sells. That ain't, that division sells for the media. And the way they do the neighborhood killings, they blow past it. Like, if they just informing you, like, yeah, there's 18 people that died. And for the weather, you know, like it ain't no humanizing the victims, right? Like, oh, there was, you know, they say, oh, there was a three-year-old that was killed, you know, next to traffic. It's nothing, it's no kind of thing. But when it's when there's a police involved shooting, it's about the background, the police department has, you know, this police officer was brought up for brutality. You see, like, they go into a full in-depth story, and then they talk about the victim more, right? When there's a police involved shooting, I, you know, George Floyd and Trayvon Martin and all these young African-American males, we know a lot more about them than the neighborhood killings that happen right around the corner from us, because they spend more time putting the victim on, you know, in front of us so we can care versus when we have these mass shootings that happen. I think black people are upset about it, but I just think it's because I think some black people are desensitized to it, and it happens so much that it's just a part of the background, and they don't know what to do. They're saying, well, let's focus on one problem at a time. Well, we need to focus on both problems. You know, killing is killing. Killing is wrong, period. And we need to focus on that no matter who's behind the gun, you know?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my God. I just seen Keenan Ives for the first time in my entire life. I'm sorry. He had my eyes. I was like, oh, he got brown eyes.
Pause. Yeah, why you ain't got that motherfucker out here trying to really, you got some color contacts? Kenny out here got them Lee's Beauty Store color contacts in.
Oh, man. It's my real eye color, man. I just always got the glasses
on. I'm not staring into your eyes.
I know. They actually change. They get that. They go to hazel and then light brown.
That is so stereotypical. Was that not so stereotypical?
Hey, man. Dude said he got kaleidoscope eyes.
This nigga using the paint tool to change the color of his eyes and shit. So Maverick,
hilarious.
Going to you. What are your thoughts in regards to the killings that are just taking place in neighborhoods across the country, but as well as not seemingly to see so much outrage, or at least the media coverage of the outrage expressed by those and people who are concerned about the killings in the neighborhood?
I agree. It's the media that's driving the news stories of, hold on, y'all. That's driving the story of police killing black people. That and the no snitch rule. And I find it ironic that people only get pissed off about black on black crime when it hits close to home. A lot of people in Detroit know about the killings that happened over the 4th of July. They know about the police that shot the guy who shot at them first that happened a couple of days ago. And there was a huge protest for that before the facts came out. But no one knows about the fact that I got family that just lost a friend that got shot over by Livernoy Davidson. He was at a red light, and dudes ran up on him, shot through the windshield, all of that, you know what I'm saying, with a passenger in the car. So even with them, that affects them more because it's closer to home. But like Smitty said, we desensitize to everything else. And when you constantly get blasted in the face and in the radio, like, look what the police officer did here and here, here and here. I'm not saying that it's not bad, but all of it is bad. So.
Thank you for that. Well, Kieran and then Keenan.
I agree with what Smitty said. I think we're just so desensitized to it. And it's just another day in the neighborhood. And it's just something that we've always grown up to and something we always see. And it's almost like a rite of passage. Like, oh, in the neighborhood, another person got shot. Yeah, okay. But then when it's something like I don't know, when it's something the media proclaims and sensationalizes, it makes it seem so one out of 100 has happened. But I mean, this is something that we all agree that this happens all the time when it comes with the police. But then when it's black on black, we just kind of like, yeah, it happens all the time, but media doesn't, you know, portray it as something that happens all the time, or they don't make it, it's not important. And so it just becomes sensationalized, and it just doesn't become, it becomes the back of our mind and not in the forefront. And we don't take it as serious, I think.
Okay. I see your point. Keenan and then Lake, take us home.
Well, I agree with everyone's thought there. I just really feel like we need to go hard when it's a killing period. Let's first start in our own black community. You know, doesn't matter, you know, who did the killing. you know, a soul is lost. So that's a big thing. You feel me? We need to eradicate that shit from our community where we just have all these motherfucking killings. It just doesn't make any sense that we just throwing these lives away. And then just because my man's down the street and my man's, you know, he killed him, it's the same thing as the police doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to make our community safe for our kids. Like, it shouldn't be like, you know, for black folks, oh, we want to move away from the city because, you know, better schools and less violence, you know. Like, it shouldn't be like that. You know, we should be able to be around our own people if that's what we want to do and not have to, you know, worry about, oh, am I going to go outside and, you know, get caught, get shot, is my 3-year going to go out and get killed? You know what I'm saying? So we need to make that shit a big deal, too. You know, it doesn't matter who did the killing. A soul is lost. Go hard about it. Make it in.
All right. True. This is very true. Lake?
Well, it amazes me that no other race has race on race crime but us. Whoever coined that frame was a fucking genius. You know, white on white crime, Chinese on Chinese crime, you know, it's black on black crime. And because we see it every day, yes, we're desensitized to it, but most of the times when there's killing, there's the same race on race crime, you know, and they just put us out there. It this weekend or over the 4th of July weekend, that Monday, they showed the faces. They were like 17 kids killed over the holiday weekend. And they showed this image and it was like all black kids. I just can't believe in the United States of America, only black kids got killed. But I believe that because of what's going on with a semi-race war, and then we have the Black Lives Matter and this, that, and the other, they had to show the images of those black children to try to prove that we don't care about our community. And that's bullshit. You know, but it's what you choose to watch and what you choose to take in. And most people in other race make a conscious decision to take that in instead of asking themselves the question, well, only black kids got killed? Because fucking America is huge, and black people, it ain't just black people, it ain't just white people. But right now, this all the fuck we talk about. Now, I grew up in the hood. I grew up at Dexter and Davidson. Yes, a lot of people got killed. Yes, the crack era was right there in front of my face every day. I didn't see a lot of men in my neighborhood grow up past 19. But I'm sure in other poor areas, it was the same. You know, but we didn't see it on TV. You know what I mean? They wasn't showing those images on Cops. They was just showing my neighborhood. So it's hard for me to be radical about something that I've seen for 41 years. But I am radical about trained professionals taking the lives of non-trained professionals. And at the end of the day, we take our police at a high regard to be able to think before they pull out their weapon. That's what the argument is about. You know what I mean? How do we, would you guys say, desensitize a situation or bring it, de-escalate a situation? One way of doing that is because you have this professional here that is supposed to be sober and forward-thinking and trained in a way to de-escalate a situation. When you have race-on-race crime, you have anger, you have people, you have a personal situation, just like Maverick was saying. His situation was personal. It was about private. You know what I mean? So people can't think straight when pussy's involved, you know, but you could think straight when you was called to a situation and you've been given all the information you can, and you have to come out with strategy ways of making sure that everybody comes out alive. So when they try to compare the two, it's just a way of making others be able to agree that we should be more concerned about black-on-black crime. But they don't understand that that is not where our focus is, especially when you have professionals like this panel here. You know what I mean? We ain't fucking around with black on black crime right now. We trying to get justice and make a safe place for our children. That's what our platform is. You know what I mean? We ain't robbing banks. We see those niggas. We're able to identify those people and we know how to see it and de-escalate it, you know? So I think it's just media bullshit.
So, and thank you, like, for your opinion and everyone's for their opinion as well. To me, I agree with the part that I think the media plays a huge role in reporting and just sensationalizing what goes on in black communities. And I just think it's more systematic propaganda against black communities. Crimes are proximity, especially violent crimes. Violent crimes happen most of the time by people that know you. So you're more likely to get shot and killed by your cousin and or friend or brother or sibling, more so than a stranger in a different community. Now, you see that violence happening in your community, white on white crime happens. Asian on Asian crime happens. If that's what's in your community, if violent crime is to happen, it's going to happen to you in that community, regardless of the race and the makeup of that community. It's not just a black on black thing, but the media definitely loves to pull that. And that's all you see on the front pages of newspapers, in the social media posts, in, on the news at various hours. It's always about the violent crime that seem to happen in these predominantly black neighborhoods or brown neighborhoods. That's what you see. To me, I guess it's because what I see, you know, common sense is only sense when it's common. What I see is that I see a lot of people that's angry with both. I see a lot of factions and organizations that are in the streets protesting these killings in the neighborhood and these gang members that be killings or these random senseless shootings. I do see those people on a regular basis stand up and talk about the violence and try to stop the violence. What I think needs to happen more, I think that us in the communities that we live in, especially those in cities and predominantly black communities, need to start caring more about their communities and their environments. I think once we start having that neighbor watching neighbor or that efficacy of us being in a group and learning each other and knowing each other and caring about each other, once that started happening, the neighborhood started deteriorating and things starting to get a lot worse. Of course, there's always been gang violence. There's going to be gang violence. There's always been gang violence, but the rules seem a little different. You know, they didn't seem to be as much as, you know, messing with me when I was a kid. Like, I had a lot of, you know, different old heads that I'll come by and they'd be like, nah, you know, just go ahead and walk by. This ain't for you. You don't need to be around this. You don't need to be learning this. And I think that's missing today. I think it's definitely sensationalized. And it's like a badge of honor now when you do some fuck shit in the neighborhood and, you know, fuck up where you live or, you know, shooting somebody or fighting somebody. I think the outrage with the cop killings is, you know, I think everyone pretty much brought that up, is that the professionals that we call these, you know, law enforcement officers to assist us, we expect them or we hold them in a higher regard. I think also, too, what needs to come into play with this, and we talked about it a few episodes, is that police need to be of the community. They need to be in the community. They need to learn the community. I'm not saying they got to necessarily live on that neighborhood or block, but they definitely should live in within the city. They should, you know, representing or patrolling. And I think it would help squash a lot of issues that come up if you had a recognizable face that people can go to when an incident occurs or when a situation does occur. But I also think that the community itself, like I was saying earlier, needs to band together and start trying to police the community on its own. If you see something, that whole, you know, especially for civilians, like for people that are not involved in that life, I know you fear reprisal and I know you got to live in these neighborhoods where, you know, gang violence and all other kind of wars and shootings happen. But you got to stop that the snitches get stitches bullshit. Like, you got to stop that. Like, there's lies on the line. You know, Tariq, you know, hearing all these kids being killed recently, it took me back to the early 90s. And it was like, all of us is like, just bullets are just flying everywhere and people getting caught with strays that wasn't even the 10 for them. So I think if you know what's going on in those neighborhoods, you as the community, it's your responsibility to stand up and say, hey, you know, such and such, so and so, or this is where you look for this person to help bring to justice for these innocent lives that are being taken all over. So that's just my thought. Anybody got any final piece they want to, you know, say anything they got you want to talk about? You got any more wild stories y'all need to get off your chest in the few minutes we got left?
I'll just
all right. That, so that's all the time we got, folks. And
no, I agree with what you said. I just think it'll be a cold day in hell before it happens. I'm of the thought that if we're gonna hold one group accountable, you should hold all groups accountable.
We should.
So I agree that law enforcement, the so-called good cops, need to snitch out the bad cops, but I also think that the good citizens should snitch out the bad citizens.
Facts. Big facts. Yes.
And I'm not going to hold one over the other. I acknowledge that in for different reasons that they're both bad, but you would think that we wouldn't be so willing to overlook us taking our own out. Like, at the end of the day, and I know a lot of people don't really fully understand this part, is how a lot of laws that have been passed, which is why I said we as blacks need to be involved, not just in police departments, but also in the political process. There's a lot of laws on the books that give officers discretion to do what they do, which is why they have so much leeway. So when you start looking at what they have the discretion to do based on what they personally feel as fear, right, and if they're able to articulate whether or not they felt fearful, that's what gets them off the hook a lot of times. That and the fact that you got bullshit prosecutors that give charges that they know won't stick. But that's another topic for another podcast. But when you start to look at it that way, then you start to realize, like, oh, that's why a lot of them are able to get away with stuff that we clearly see as bullshit, but they're able to explain it away because they're like, well, my discretion and my fear level gives me the right to do that. If we were policing our own communities, like you said, we don't feel our own. I can walk up and down East 7 Mile and feel at home because I grew up there. I wouldn't expect, you know, Tommy to walk up and down, you know what I'm saying? And he grew up in Bloomfield Hills. He'd be terrified.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's all I got to add.
No, and I totally agree with that. I think both sides should be held accountable. Like y'all said, the soul is a soul. You know, a soul is lost because of a killing one way or the other. And I think bringing the community back into it and having a voice, like you said, Mav, like, you know, just having a voice. Like, we go into the voting booth, and because we saw it on the news, that's what we're going right to Proposal B. We have no idea what Proposal B. Proposal B could be like, I'm going to come in and take your money out the first of your house every day, but, like, because I gave you $5 off of your gas, you like, good, cool. I mean, it said something that I wanted to hear. So we definitely need more people to educate just each other, the neighborhoods, communities, really being able to break down and read and totally be able to articulate to our community for them to understand what these laws and things that when we go into the voting booth to help cancel out some of that discretion that we unwillingly help give, you know, just because of the way we voted or the way we didn't vote. So anybody else before, you know, final thoughts, last piece? Y'all good? Okay, cool. I'm tired of looking at y'all anyway. So, so as always, thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate you late. King Keys, Mav, Mr. K, Smitty. I appreciate y'all all for being on. I love y'all. Y'all stay safe out there.
We appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
No doubt.
So, check us out. Oh, wait. I'm going to go ahead and let King do your spiel.
Yes, all you listeners out there, please head on over to IG. Take a look at Sky_Edibles. for all your edible needs. We got some good products over there. If you mention promo code Fuck Your Feelings, you're going to get 10% off your order. We got free delivery on orders over 50, $10 delivery on orders under 50. Reach out. Let us provide you with your edible needs.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, though, they are great edibles. They taste wonderful. They are very, very worth all the time and effort that Mr. Keys put into them. So definitely check them out. Our last sponsor is Sweet Tea's Car Wash. Please, if you feel like you need your car detailed, you want your car detailed, you want to look a nice, clean ride for the summer, reach out to Sweet Tea's at Facebook and Instagram. They're still doing their detailed specials. You mentioned your name, the name Fuck Your Feelings. You get something off. I forget what it is. I think it's what, 20%?
30% off last time, I believe.
Yeah, so Sweet Tea's Car Wash. So, and as always, y'all can check us out at Fuck_yo_feelings at IG, Twitter, Facebook. And then if you have any questions, y'all want to send us an email, please. We love to hear from the listeners out there. If you got any feedback, if you want us to read your email on the podcast, we will. And that's at thepodcast.fyf@gmail.com. What y'all doing? Why is nigga stroking this so? What are you, a fucking Siamese cat?
I have no clue. I was like,
I promise you, I thought the same thing.
Are we supposed to watch this? How long are we supposed to watch this?
What the fuck is going on right now? I'm trying to end the show, and this shit's distracting. This nigga primping himself. You go, meow.
Using the camera as a mirror and shit.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Pretty boy syndrome. Everything that you're facing, then you gotta detail
yourself. Yeah, this nigga went pretty boy. He's like, can y'all see the extra light skin on my skin that I got cut? And then he went to hazel eyes that transferred to gray eyes and the light. This nigga. Now he putting the kid in his beard. All right. So thank you.
Oh,
thank y'all all. And as always, fuck your feelings. One.